Officials tried to inoculate Americans with swine flu, and there was a 300% death rate for those inoculated, and millions were paid out in damages. God gave you a sophisticated immune system, and in times of need, you can make it 10 times stronger. So there's no need to panic. Just get prepared. Call Apothecary Herbs to order your upgraded pandemic kit. You will have 8 professional strength formulas offering broad spectrum immune boosting protection. Take a stand, have a plan, have peace, and request your pandemic kit today. Call Apothecary Herbs toll free 866-229-3663 or online thepowerherbs.com. That's 866-229-3663 or thepowerherbs.com. Everyone is afraid of pain. No one wants pain to rule over their life. And you don't want the negative side effects of aspirin, ibuprofen, or prescription drugs. They can lower immunity and cause dependency. Is there a safe alternative? I'm herbalist Wendy Wilson, and I prefer willow bark and meadow sweet herbs to control pain, fever, aches, and inflammation. God's herbs are good, and you won't be disappointed. Call Apothecary Herbs for pain or extra strength pain relief formula, toll free 866-229-3663. That's 866-229-3663. International 704-875-8010 or online thepowerherbs.com. If you have a heart condition and emergency rooms and medical doctors are not an option, you need our emergency heart attack kit. 5 concentrated liquid formulas enter the system in 60 seconds to protect your heart muscle, strengthen heartbeat, increase circulation, relieve pain, and make breathing easier. When seconds count, you want all the help you can get with our emergency heart attack kit. Easy to use and portable in a 1-pound compact kit for your purse, briefcase, or car. Call Apothecary Herbs now for your emergency heart attack kit, toll-free, 866-229-3663. That's 866-229-3663. International callers dial 704-875-8010 or order online at thepowerherbs.com.
1, 2, 3. I was feeling so bad. I asked my family doctor just what I had. I said, doctor,
doctor,
Mr. MD,
doctor,
now can you tell me?
Welcome to Herb Talk Live. I'm your resident herbalist, Wendy Wilson. Hope you had a great day here on Herb Talk. It's all about empowerment. Thanks for joining us here on the American Voice Radio Network, WWCR, and other networks. Hey, Frank, you ready? Our magical engineer, Frank, is ready, and we have a great show. First part of the show, we are going to be talking about a new doctor study. This is out of Australia and what it may say about our physicians. And we're also going to kind of pick up on some of the things about what our stool or poop says about us. All good things to know about. But before we get to all that great stuff, big salute and Semper Fi. Lifting our righteous name of the Lord up and I'm saying, I'm hitting the knees. I'm seeking the Lord's face. I'm minding the time and it grows short. So without further ado, we're going to be talking about John 12 here. Now is the judgment of this world, and now shall the prince of this world be cast out. Yeah, so good people win in the end, bad people lose. So you got to decide, are you going to be in the winner camp or the loser's camp? Winner's camp means you believe in Lord Jesus Christ, you have faith in that, and that is a big deal. And the invitation for that to happen is growing short, so mind the time. And without further ado, let's do the quack report. Thank you, Frank. Well, here's some information. Where's this coming out of? Tehran University Medical Center in Iran. Oh, Iran Medical Center. Okay, so this is some research that the Iranians did. The University of Medical Sciences in Iran. They have found that the COVID-19 treatment, the serum, triggers serious skin conditions in recipients. Their article on research was published December 2022 in the Clinical Case Reports. Looked at 67-year-old man who, no prior history of skin disorders, got the shot, and he got an inactivated virus injection for the COVID serum, which was never licensed for use in the United States, by the way. So almost right away, after he got this treatment, he had a serious fever. He had arrhythmia. He had back pain. And then he got all these bulbous lesions on his extremities and abdomen. Terrible, terrible. By the sixth day post-shot, 30% of his body was covered in these lesions and patches that he had all over his skin. Anyway, so the doctors attempted to save him, gave him organ transplant rejection medicine. They said the body may have been rejecting the serum and the jab, so they were trying to turn off the immune system. He was also given corticosteroids to help with his pink eye. He had a lot of inflammation of the eye. So after 14 days, his skin condition improved, but this was a huge case study for nobody was reporting on these skin conditions happening. All right, last but not least in the Quack Report, here's a link between processed foods and brain health. They said 60% of your calories of the average American diet are from highly processed foods. We've known for a while that prepackaged products like this aren't the healthiest. That includes breakfast cereal, snack bars, frozen meals, sweets, anything that is prepackaged. So there's a link, they say now, with health concerns that increase your risk of diabetes, obesity, cancer, and now dementia. So this is a recent study. They say these delicious foods can put us at risk of having cognitive decline. So studies of the past have looked at ultra-processed foods that a person may eat. So more studies being done on it because the other previous study said it caused depression and anxiety. But now they're saying over time, cognitive decline. Ooh, time to go organic. And that wraps the Quack Report.
That's all, folks.
Thank you, Frank. All right. Although some people may say, I want to forget this world. Well, yeah, this world is crazy. But it's our testing ground. We got to hold fast. We have to keep the ground. We have to wait. We have to occupy until the Lord returns. Be that salt and light. That's what we're supposed to do. Okay, let's look at this new study on doctors. Because more than any time before, patients are complaining about doctors. Now, the COVID event certainly added to the speculation and maybe distrust of the medical system. So there is really no denying that the relationship between doctor and patient have been damaged. And people are expecting that the medical professionals, hey, they should live up to this oath of first do no harm. That's Hippocrates started that. But this oath has been, it's been an important element in patient trust. However, oaths now are discarded in healthcare. They don't even take them anymore. So bedside manner is also something we're familiar with, right? And physicians with good bedside manner are usually more sensitive and caring ones. And then there's the more arrogant ones who rank zero on the bedside manner index. So working within healthcare as I did, kind of opened my eyes to things mostly hidden from patients and their families, such as, hey, a physician pitching a fit and throwing an operating room phone across the surgical bay. Yeah, crazy. Or lying to the patients about the surgery. So how are patients to trust physicians post-COVID? Well, a very good question. So here's a report where MDs were rationalizing. This was a report in Physicians Weekly. The public, they say, is losing trust in the medical doctors because of the following reasons. Here's the list. They said the system is driven by profit. There is no professional bond between patient and doctors anymore. Doctors really don't listen to patient concerns because they don't care or they don't have time. They said patients are not honest with physicians, and this impacts the quality of care. Also, third parties are making the medical decisions regarding treatment plans. Yeah, wait until artificial intelligence spits it out for you. How about TV commercials have patients asking doctors for the wrong medicine? And the Affordable Care Act created a lot of document mandates, new computer hardware systems making care more complicated, burdensome, and restrictive on time spent with patients. Also, patients feel doctors are more concerned about the mandates, the penalties, and the digital healthcare record than the patient themselves. And doctors have to see more patients per day to compensate for the cut in the insurance reimbursements. That's the Affordable Care Act. And also negative media reports of corruption and greed in healthcare industry have also put doubts in patients' minds. Well, let's look at this new study, because we've mentioned studies before on healthcare professionals. And after all, they are human and they make mistakes, but mistakes are accidental. But cover-ups, well, and other behaviors, well, they negatively impact patients, and they're intentional. So a new study from Queensland, Australia, stated some of the things that can cause friction between doctors and patients. They listed personality conflicts and a rush through the visit. The doctor really doesn't have time for you, so they rush you through the visit. Also, they don't listen to patients or believe what they say. That's what patients are saying. And also, they don't like, doctors don't like their treatment plan to be questioned. Well, it's your body. You're going to ask questions. They don't have time to answer it. Get a new doctor. And this is May 2023. The Australian scientists who stated that physicians today may be more extroverted and conscientious and agreeable. Guess what? They also state they're less open and more neurotic. Holy cow. Which means physicians today exhibit more anger, anxiety, self-consciousness, irritability, emotional instability, and depression. Whew. So no one wants to think their personal physician is neurotic. Absolutely not, right? So neurotic people tend to have character traits of being temperamental, moody and touchy, envious and jealous, and distrustful. So, however, the neurotic person sees themselves as open-minded and creative, philosophical and intellectual, imaginative but complex. Yeah. So how do the Australian scientists know this? Well, the results were from responses that they received on two national surveys. About 30,000 healthcare professionals answered the surveys, and they were analyzed. So this type of data suggests strong clinical implications within healthcare. It also appears that the doctor's training for the medical specialties they're in can also influence their character traits. Also, this research did appear in the May 2023 study finds report. Frank's weighing in. What do you say, Frank?
Gee, and back in the good old days, doctors were just alcoholics and drug addicts.
They still are, Frank. We're going to get to that. There's an underlying problem here, is what we're pointing out. You may not see it. It's covered up a little bit. It's subtle sometimes. You may not see it. But the Australian researchers were not expecting the physicians to report that their profession subjected them to severe external forces that were beyond their control when compared to the general public. They weren't expecting that.
And they also found that the female physicians were higher on the scale for being neurotic. Here's a quote from the report. They said, researchers assert that these personality differences could hold important implications for the doctor-patient relationship and ultimately the success of medical treatment, end of quote. Well, there was an international survey, too. This was a little while back. According to the International Health Survey, Americans are the least trusting of the medical profession worldwide. The survey was published, their findings, in the 2014 New England Journal of Medicine. And they reported, this is post-COVID, by the way, they reported, well, the findings were based on this global survey that was done between 2011 and 2013. And they reported that Americans are suspicious of doctors. it involved 29 countries, and the results showed that 58% of Americans say that they trust their physicians, while 42% said they didn't. I think those numbers have now changed, Frank. The U.S. was, you know, tied with Croatia, poor Croatia, on trust and the medical profession. However, these findings, obviously, before COVID. So the Australian study suggests the dynamics within healthcare will influence distrust between patient and physicians, and not for the better. Here is a quote from, this is Michael Gusmano. He's with the Hastings Center, which is a New York research institute. He said, skepticism of the medical profession hasn't happened without any reason. Experts point to the commercialization of American medicine as the key to damaging the relationship between doctor and patient. Also, decades of data on the Americans' public trust in institutions in general has declined. Yeah, anything government, that kind of thing. And let's see, this is from Shannon Brownlee. She's a physician for the National Health Program. She said, what are patients to do with the knowledge that much of what is passed off as science in medicine is nothing more than medical lingo marketing? Patients need to be asking a lot of questions. Yeah, so if your doctor doesn't like questions, time for a new doctor. So she's right about that, because a lot of what we've talked about on the show is, you know, the journal articles is, you know, fraud. A lot of it's fraud. And people don't really understand a lot of these test studies that they want you to go for annually. You know, especially medicine pushes, if you're 50 or over, they want you to go all get these studies and stuff. Mammograms, colonoscopies, EKGs and things like that. Okay. But a lot of these studies, there's two things they tend to do. They rule out what a condition you don't have. And they also are tools to market treatments. They convince you you have a problem, so you got to have this treatment. So, yes, they can find problems. Yes, they can. But sometimes you got to weigh if the treatment is going to be beneficial and less harmful. Well, there's an occupational report according to Choice Psychology. There are certain occupations that have more trauma attached to them, and therefore they're going to be more susceptible to alcohol and drug abuse and suicide, like you had mentioned, Frank, the abuse. So here's the list. At the top of the list is medical physicians. Then there's dentists, police officers, veterinarians, financial service advisors, real estate agents, electricians, lawyers, farmers, and pharmacists. Those are your top 10, basically. So physicians today have fewer choices and more restrictions placed on them. So they are licensed in their professions, which means their occupation can be at risk if they disagree with their superiors. So it is a serious test of character if physicians are asked to perform treatments not in the patient's best interest. And we've seen through COVID some of those examples. Some of these physicians were fired. Some of them lost their licenses and had to go into teaching or research. So, It is an issue. But I say natural is better. Oh, yeah. Natural is better because the organic way is the natural way. So it is what the human body is designed for. So there is less toxicity and side effects and risk with natural therapies and medicinal herbs. Now, God's word instructs us to use medicinal plants for wellness. So really, now's the time to prepare for shortages and have some backup medicine on hand, because as supplies become hard to find, well, the costs go up. That's what happens. So prepare now for that time. Call the folks at Apothecary Herbs. They have a free product catalog. And they have a free product catalog, but the best thing, I think, what people don't understand, with their immune boosters and their detox formulas and their metabolic strengtheners, their product line has a 10-year shelf life. 10 years. If you store them appropriately as directed, 10 years. Give them a call, 866-229-3663, 866-229-3663. If you're international, dial 828-469-5972, 828-469-5972. You can visit them online at thepowerherbs.com, thepowerherbs.com. Right now, you can save 20% with their Mother's Day sale on orders of $65 or more. Use coupon code MDAY23, and you want to hurry. The sale will end on May 14th. That's Mother's Day. And restrictions apply. So a good time to pick up things like pandemic kits, heart attack packs, snake bite kits, your immune boosters. I mean, heck, they have a year's supply up there on their website. They have budget stock up sections if you want to stock up on a budget. I mean, they got a whole bunch of things. So take advantage of the sale and save, because we just don't know what's around the corner. We just don't. I'm finding, you know, hiccups in the supply chain here and there. I know, Frank, it was just really frustrating within the last year where you'd call your supplier and say, hey, I need these bottles, but there's no lids, or there's lids and no bottles, right? Because where are the bottles coming from? Well, they're not made in America. America makes nothing, hardly anything anymore. So they're important stuff, and there's no lids for bottles. So stuff like that, very frustrating. Certain really, some of these big suppliers like Nature Sunshine was having issues. You know, some of their stuff was way out of stock for months. So it happens. So be prepared for that. Stock up when you can, you know, while you can. This is the time. Remember, the Lord says, you know, those who have patience and endure and wait on me, you know, those are the ones that are going to make out okay. Remember the parable of the wise virgins with oils for their lamps? There was 10, 5 were wise, 5 weren't. And the 5 that were wise had oil, extra oil for their lamps, so they didn't go out. So when the bridegroom finally arrived, that'd be the Lord, they were able to go into the marriage supper. So you want to have what you need on hand. You got to take care of that. And I tell people, you know, people are stressed out, Frank. They're anxious. They're worried. And I said, well, okay, worry about nothing and pray about everything. Do your due diligence and ask the Lord to pick up the slack where you lack, where you can't do it. And he'll help you out. He will. So just pray. So remember, worry about nothing, pray about everything. Never cease praying. That's what the scripture says. Okay, so like last time on Tuesday, we were talking about the power of the throne, which was, you know, the lavatory, the porcelain throne. And, you know, we were talking about, you know, health issues can show up in your poop, your excrement. And even heads of state and nations, you know, guard against people getting a hold of, let's say, a president's, you know, little potty matter there to find out how healthy they are. So let's just talk about a little poo trivia for a minute. Because you have to wonder why some poo floats. You ever wonder about that, Frank? Yeah. How many bowel movements per day should a person have? And is it normal for poo to be different colors other than brown?
And why do some foods like corn and other vegetables don't seem to completely digest and remain kind of in whole state in your stool? You can see it there. So these are all really good questions. And if you eat a balanced protein, starch, and fiber diet, it will affect your poo, and you're going to move the bowel more frequently, so you'll have better transit time. So the fiber remains, the fiber retains water, and then it swells a little bit and presses against the colon wall, stimulating the nerve endings of the bowel muscle, so it will move. And meals without adequate fiber will make the bowel sluggish, and the stool will remain in the body longer than necessary and get harder. And this is why Asians will expel food three times a day compared to English people due to the diet has less fiber. So your high-fiber foods are going to be whole grains, peas, turnips, figs, blueberries, lentils, black beans, almonds, pistachios, things like that. Also, your stool containing more fiber, especially from, let's say, beans, they'll tend to float. Now, other foods that make your poo float would be broccoli, cabbage, Brussels sprouts, onions, artichokes, asparagus, pears, apples, peaches, whole grains, soda, unfortunately, milk, and artificial sweeteners with sorbitol. So meats tend to make the stool more dense, and they don't float as much. Meals that contain insoluble fiber, like corn and oats, will not break down as much because they resist stomach secretions more than the soluble fiber, such as nuts and carrots. So weak digestive tracts, which do not produce the necessary enzymes to digest certain plants, will produce bits of undigested food in the stool. And what about that color? Well, why is stool sometimes green? So when we have an overgrowth of bacterium, it can change the stool's color. So this usually is the case if you're taking things like antibiotics. And according to medical studies, the average weight of stool secreted per day is about 1 pound. And healthy stool is 90% water. And we should have one bowel movement per day for each meal that we eat. So, interesting stuff, I know. Well, we're going to talk about more about poo when we come back from our break. So, stay tuned. We got more. Be right back.
Help, I need somebody. Help, not just anybody. Help, you know I need someone. Help. When I was younger, so much younger than today, I never needed anybody's help in any way. Now these days are gone and I'm not so self-assured. Now I find a change of mind and open up the doors. Help me if you can, I'm feeling down. And I do appreciate you being around.
Pumping life into the original medicine. Herbalist Wendy Wilson will be right back.
As we age, there can be many reasons why we feel tired, have memory issues, gain weight, struggle with stress, or feel depressed. These symptoms can be indicators that the adrenal glands that sit on top of your kidneys need metabolic strengthening. There are herbs known to improve adrenal gland function, circulation, blood pressure, skin, muscle, and bone strength. Why suffer with weakness when you can use gland-strengthening medicinal herbs? Empower yourself with the organic balance chemistry in the adrenal gland formula. You will remove the risk of mega doses and offer specific nutrition the body needs. Call Apothecary Herbs now for their adrenal gland formula, 866-229-3663, thepowerherbs.com. That's Apothecary Herbs, 866-229-3663, thepowerherbs.com. Because if you're serious about herbs, you need Apothecary Herbs.
Thomas Edison invented the light bulb, Henry Ford the automobile, and herbalist Wendy Wilson? Well, discover for yourself. Listen to Herb Talk Live.
22 million Americans manage sleep apnea instead of resolving it. Sleep apnea increases risk of heart disease, depression, and death. New research from Rutgers University states the thyroid manufactures hormones used as neurotransmitters to regulate breathing during sleep. This suggests the thyroid gland needs balancing to address sleep apnea. So forget the CPAP machine. Call Apothecary Herbs for their sleep apnea herb formulas to remove cellular stress and feed the thyroid the nutrition it needs for better sleep. Call now to order 866-229-3663. 866-229-3663 or online at thepowerherbs.com. Thepowerherbs.com. Money back guarantee with our organic professional strength formulas, because if you're serious about herbs, you need Apothecary Herbs.
I don't trust anyone wearing a mask. Robbers, cattle rustlers, or doctors. I listen to Herb Talk Live.
Pandemics will be a part of our future. The question is, how do we protect ourselves? Are you willing to put your trust in an untested vaccine, hoping it kills mutating viruses? Remember, in 1976, health officials tried to inoculate Americans with swine flu, and there was a 300% death rate in those inoculated, and millions were paid out in damages. God gave you a sophisticated immune system, and in times of need, you can make it 10 times stronger. So there's no need to panic. Just get prepared. Call Apothecary Herbs to order your upgraded pandemic kit. You will have 8 professional strength formulas offering broad-spectrum immune-boosting protection. Take a stand, have a plan, have peace, and request your pandemic kit today. Or take your chances with the bad boys. Call Apothecary Herbs toll-free, 866-229-3663, or online, thepowerherbs.com.
Hey, we're back. Thank you, Frank. Awesome stuff. Okay, we're talking about our bowel and some of the trivia and, you know, function of the bowel. Kind of give us a heads up on what may be going on. You know what? Stress can influence it. Yeah. You ever have that in situation where you get stressed out and all of a sudden you may have diarrhea or something like that? So when we experience stress, it does affect the way we go to the bathroom. So why does stress cause our digestive tract to cramp and spasm? Well, when we're under stress, our brain will send a chemical signal, but it isn't just the brain that it gets involved. The intestines will release hormones and neurotransmitters as well, and this will energize the nervous system and light up the nerve fibers that regulate digestive systems. Dr. Michael Gerson of Columbia University found that our bowels actually have a brain of their own and can work independently of our regular brain up top. So if you get nervous just before, let's say, a debate, you may need to make a stop at the bathroom first. So some signs that may indicate there may be a problem with the digestive tract are if the stool is greasy and exceedingly foul smelling. Often this will indicate that the pancreas or the liver needs some healing. Now, if you're doing cleansing, sometimes when you purge a lot of toxins, you'll actually get stool that smells a bit more foul. It won't smell like your normal stool, but that's because you're purging that toxic matter. So your liver and your pancreas and your gallbladder kind of work together to help digest fats. And if your fat shows up in your stool, it means one or more of these organs may be having a problem. So oil saturated stool will also float, by the way, and bowels that do not move every day are also at risk of developing diseases. So I once knew a lady that lived on caffeine and cigarettes and had one bowel movement monthly with her menstruational cycle. I was like, whoa. So if you think that is normal, well, think again. The bowel has to move 2 or 3 times a day to be normal. Now, what's interesting is your medical textbooks and doctors will tell you if you have two or three bowel movements a week, they'll tell you that's normal. And that is incorrect. So we have some more information on the bowel, but we're going to be doing that in some stages. And in the coming few shows, we'll be doing part two and part three on our bowel system. It's the body's most important organ because it regulates toxin removal a lot. And you got to get those toxins out. Any doctor who knows this stuff will tell you, you got to keep that bowel moving. It's an evacuation process of toxicity. All right, so we're going to switch gears. By the way, if you're looking for a really excellent bowel cleanse, now, by the way, bowel cleanses aren't just like enemas to clean you out. Bowel cleanses pull out toxins, heavy metals, radioactive particles, things like that you don't want to hang on to, pharmaceutical residues, that stuff. So the powerherbs.com, the folks at Apothecary Herbs have a very nice bowel cleanse kit. You might want to check that out if you think you need to do some cleansing. Let's see, we're going to talk about some cancer here for a little bit. I don't know if you know anybody in your family or a friend that's had cancer. Most people do. Because more than any time before, it's really critical that patients understand and dig for information before they consent to treatments. So an area of medicine that is, it's really imperative to do your homework is oncology or cancer care. So if you're talking with your medical doctors, well, it can be kind of be like talking to the government sometimes. They don't really volunteer information. And it's really going to be key to have questions. It's the type of questions you're asking. So getting diagnosis of cancer is a very emotional one. And people should really take a few days, collect their thoughts, do some homework, and then ask physicians important questions. So we're going to take a look at some of the information cancer patients may not be told unless they ask for it, or they may find it on their own. So cancer patients are not told about some of the deadly side effects of the treatments. For instance, chemotherapy creates a condition in the body called neutropenia, which is Latin for nether deficiency, and it's a granulite disorder. So this is a fancy way of saying that chemotherapy disables your immune system. So patients are usually, you know, told that, you know, chemo is going to, you know, make them a little sick, more susceptible to infections, may lose their hair, and this will only be temporary for a few months. Because during that process, you're not making white blood cells, and that's your immune system defense. So patients are going to be at risk of developing some life-threatening conditions called sepsis, which is a deadly blood infection, and it is one of the most expensive conditions to treat within healthcare. And they may be subjected to bone marrow biopsies and things. So there is a higher risk of neutropenia with even the older patients where your immune system's not functioning. Now, the other side of chemotherapy is that it can destroy vital, healthy tissues and organs, such as the heart. It just depends on where the chemo's going. So if you're having treatment for breast cancer, get ready to lose 25% of your heart muscle function. And it's really not uncommon, though, women being treated for breast cancer with chemo will have heart muscle damage, and they're pretty much put on heart drugs the rest of their life because they have congestive heart failure now. Yeah, some information may not be told to them. Your symptoms would be shortness of breath, a dry cough, and edema, where you have fluid retention. So the heart is not strong enough to pump the fluids out. So they're going to be put on, as I said, cardio meds, you know, diuretics. They got a new diagnosis of heart failure, and to compensate for the weak heart, medicine calls this side effect of chemotherapy cardiotoxicity. Yeah. I don't think that's in the handout, Frank, when you're at your doctor's office. I think they may just skim over that.
Now, typically, patients with heart failure are not good candidates for chemotherapy, and any additional treatments with chemo are extremely risky. Now, I once had a relative that wasn't told about the cardiotoxicity risk, had breast cancer, got treated, several rounds of chemo and radiation. I think she was prescribed 3 rounds. And she was also told that if you didn't get 3 rounds of chemo and radiation, that your insurance would not pay for reconstructive breast surgery because she had both bilateral breast remote. Yeah. I would have called my insurance to check that out just to see. But so additional treatments with chemo make everything risky. So some of the other lingering side effects of chemo would obviously be hair loss, gastrointestinal dysfunction, and also a condition called chemo brain, which is depression, lack of concentration, memory problems, and attention deficit disorder. My family friend did have that as well. So the answer medical science has to dealing with all this chemo fallout is to keep a daily organizer and stay focused. That's what they tell you. Find out the facts about all that beforehand. Okay. Well, let's look at some of the chemo effects. So if you are researching chemo drugs, you're going to discover that there is not any area of the body that won't be affected by them. So the blood's affected. There are toxic drugs. These are toxic drugs, and there is a route that blood takes. And the drugs can damage the blood, the bone marrow, and your immune system, and this would account for patients with pale skin, weakness, lightheadedness, brain fog, feeling cold, and just feeling sick all over, because life is in the blood, and it's killing the blood cells, the white blood cells. Also, your nerves and muscles are affected. Since the chemo drugs affect memory, it will also affect concentration and coordination. So doctors call this a mind cognitive impairment or chemo brain. And what patients may not realize is that this cognitive impairment can last for years and include the likelihood of anxiety and stress. Also, your digestive system is off. Cancer patients about to undergo chemo will be informed that nausea and vomiting will be part of the problem with the treatment. They also will experience mouth sores, bleeding gums, difficulty chewing and swallowing food. Doctors will load their patients up with anti-nausea drugs when studies have shown that ginger root outperforms these drugs by preventing nausea and vomiting. So herbs like slippery elm, inner bark also help with diarrhea. Fennel seed with bloating and gas. Herbs for constipation are also far superior to your drugs without the risk of side effects. Also your hair and skin. Hair loss is expected, of course, by most cancer patients on chemo, but they say it's temporary. And they also experience dry skin, itchiness, and rashes. They are also to avoid sun exposure. The nails can turn yellow or brown, and the growth of the nails is slowed, causing them to become brittle and rigid and can separate from the nail bed, crack, and break off, causing infections. Fungus. Get fungus there. Your reproductive system takes a hit. Chemo drugs affect hormones that can cause infertility and lack of libido. Your kidneys are also impacted. Kidneys have to secrete the toxic chemo drugs, and the bladder cells and the filters of the kidneys can become damaged. Kidneys malfunction and is a risk of chemo, and edema can result, so you have fluid retention. Getting back to our bones, your skeletal system is affected also, especially for women. The chemo drugs reduce bone mass due to the exodus of calcium from the drugs, and this is not uncommon for cancer patients treated with chemo drugs to develop osteoporosis and suffer fractures and breaks. Getting back to our brain, the cancer treatments can offer extreme stress on the physical body, but cancer also is a stressful emotional condition. Most patients deal with fear, anxiety, stress, panic, and they find it difficult to manage the cancer protocols with work and family life. So it's a lot to deal with. Now, cancer treatments have been kind of streamlined over the years into a type of standardized package of surgery, chemical and radiation treatments, kind of together. And a relative new area of oncology is to personalize your cancer treatments, but the tests are expensive and not covered by most insurance providers. So if a doctor says to a patient that he or she has a very special cancer, what they mean is we have to personalize your treatment plan. And patients are encouraged to ask how effective the cancer treatments are for their type and stage of cancer, and can a cure versus a remission be expected. So a remission is not a cure. Remission means lessening of symptoms. Doesn't mean you're cancer-free. Most people, on average, getting cancer treatments will probably be in remission 2 years, and then the cancer can come back. On average, it comes back in 2 years. You want to get some facts on your percentages and your outcomes, and this is science, and they should have this information. They should have it to hand out to you, and you shouldn't have to beg for it. And you can go then and confirm their findings. And so you can also ask your oncology or cancer doctor for his personal evidential findings and the outcomes of the treatment. In most cases, your medical research will not match up with the doctor's anecdotal account. So in most cases, diligent patients find the cancer treatments do not cure cancer and have a 100% mortality rate. So if your oncologist is honest, he'll tell you we don't cure cancer. Here is Dr. Asma Latif. He's a oncologist at Memorial Sloan Kettering Cancer Center. He said the goal of the treatment is to cure the cancer, but we know this is often not possible. The most likely scenario is that we don't cure the cancer. End of quote. Yeah, they don't cure cancer. So what some doctors admit to here. Once in a while, you're going to find a doctor who are punished for standing up for the truth. And one such physician was Dr. Ralph Moss. He authored the book Questioning Chemotherapy. And he told the truth about Memorial Sloan Kettering Center, Cancer Center, in 1977 when he worked there. And then he, when he released his 48-page report, the top officials at the hospital lied about the study testing natural Laetril or vitamin B17 as being an alternative cancer treatment. So Dr. Moss is one of those guys that won't be silenced. And he's written several books on natural solutions for cancer, including Cancer Therapy, The Independent Consumer's Guide to Non-Toxic Treatments, and he has exposed the enormous financial and political corruption of the cancer establishment. And you may have come across maybe some of his research, the Cancer Chronicles, for instance. So Dr. Moss likes to expose the ineffectiveness of chemotherapy for a majority of the cancers. He writes that 96 to 98% of the cancers do not respond to chemo treatments. And these are the most common types: breast cancer, colon cancer, lung cancer. He also reports that 2% of cancer is deterred for a while by chemo, like leukemia and Hodgkin's disease, testicular cancer, and retinoblastoma, but it comes back. So it is possible for patients to understand what medical science calls an effective cancer treatment, which is tumor size shrinks to 50% within 28 days. But Dr. Moss says this does not mean there is a cure or an extension of the patient's life. And as a matter of fact, Dr. Moss says that the cancer research states that pretty much the opposite. Chemotherapy does not cure cancer, improve the quality of life, or extend it. And he has a good point here, because if a treatment offers such painful and risky side effects, how is that improving the quality of life? And he also reports that a vast majority who take chemo learn that they have significantly diminished their ability to recover from cancer, switching to natural immune-enhancing alternatives. So they've damaged the immune system, and it's just going to be a bigger, bigger fight if you switch. So he calls this pretty much tragic, and I agree. He said, allopathic cancer treatments net $100 billion a year, with chemotherapy netting about $8.5 billion. And many of the people on hospital boards also own investments in Bristol Myers, who owns patents on the dozen chemo drugs they make. Dr. John Whitaker says, in my opinion, conventional cancer therapy is so toxic and dehumanizing that I fear it far more than I fear death from cancer. We know that the conventional therapy doesn't work, and if it did, you would not fear cancer any more than you fear pneumonia. End of quote. Good point, right? So Dr. Whitaker said that he had cancer. If he had cancer, he would turn his back on over 50 years of medical science and instead would change his diet and use vitamins and herbs. Alan Levin, MD, author of The Healing of Cancer, says most cancer patients in the United States die from chemotherapy. Chemotherapy does not eliminate breast, colon, or lung cancers. In fact, it has been documented that over a decade now, doctors still use chemotherapy for cancer. So the media proclaims frequently that we are winning the war on cancer. So if we are, why have we gone from 1 in 30 women with breast cancer 30 years ago to 1 in 8? And the American Cancer Society has estimated 15% of women who die of cancer are dying of breast cancer, and there is 1,670,000 women with this disease. So this is one woman dying every 12 minutes. How are they winning the war on cancer? So the last place anyone wants to look for criminal acts is in your healthcare. However, there has been an uptick in the deliberate criminal acts by doctors of diagnosing healthy patients with cancer. And people don't want to believe a doctor would do such a thing. And there are kickbacks in medicine. And the more chemotherapy drugs that are used, the richer some people are getting. So we get back to the real facts that disease management makes more money than a cure would. And take, for example, Dr. Fahad Fada, who in January 2014, under oath in court, admitted he intentionally diagnosed healthy patients with cancer. He admitted chemotherapy drugs. He did it for the money. And doctors can sometimes generate more income from kickbacks and commissions than by ethical treating of their patients. So these unethical doctors sell their patients as a commodity. And according to Dr. Saeed Mohammed, a retired oncologist, he reports this is a growing trend. And Dr. Fada was found guilty of running a $1 million insurance scheme and billing for unnecessary oncology drugs and treatments. His patient load was 1,200 patients, and he billed $62 million to Medicare and $150 million to the rest of the insurance companies. And he committed these crimes from 2009 to 2014. And he said, quote, I knew this was medically unnecessary in court, end of quote. And then you have to wonder about some of the other cancers like prostate and so forth. Prostate cancer fast becoming one area of oncology that's being abused. Older patients are sent home concerned when their doctors report their PSA levels are too high and recommend that they get radiation treatments or biopsies. So your PSA levels are age specific. And if you are a male between 60 and 70 years of age, the PSA level of 4.0 to 5.5 is normal. So the PSA test, prostate-specific antigen, was approved by the FDA in 1994. The PSA level measurement in the blood does not necessarily mean there is a problem. According to Richard Albin, author of The Great Prostate Mistake, he reports that PSA testing does not direct detect prostate cancer and does not distinguish between prostate cancer that can and can't harm you. So he goes on to say that over-the-counter medications like ibuprofen can enlarge the prostate and be concerned with, and then you would be concerned with benign enlargements. So he says the PSA test is profit-driven by the oncology culture, and in 2012, the U.S. Preventative Service Task Force released a statement on the 10-year study. The PSA tests for prostate cancer screening should no longer be done as they do not offer early detection of prostate cancer and can put patients at risk. So in their report, they state that that for every 100 men that have a PSA test, 90 will have normal levels and 10 will have higher than normal levels. Of the 10 that have the higher levels, 3 will be found to have cancer after a biopsy. However, the report also states that spontaneous remission of prostate cancer is common, but never recorded by medicine. The study results were published in the Psychological Science Journal. So, and I've heard this from patients, Frank, or customers, Frank, that, you know, are prostate patients, and they had, you know, the prostate get better. And then the doctor says, oh, well, then you're fine. We don't have to keep looking at it for now. It does happen. So, you know, I'm with Dr. Whitaker. You know, I would use a combination of natural things as an approach if I had to deal with cancer. You know, healthy organic lifestyle is going to go a long way. Stay away from the GMO foods. They're going to promote cancer in a skinny minute. They're going to promote inflammation. Inflammation is the precursor for a lot of disease. So we want to stay away from inflammation. So do your homework. Do your research. Lots of fruits and vegetables. Lots of studies have shown that people who develop cancer eat more red meat and not enough fruits and vegetables. So if you hike up the fruits and vegetables and, you know, ditch the large meat dish sizes, you know, kind of limit it, you're going to do a whole lot better. Also, Windsor Medical School, Windsor Medical University in Quebec, Canada in 2012, by accident found out dandelion cures all known cancer cells. Dandelion root. They're trying to find out what's in dandelion so they can patent a drug out of it, but you have dandelion root. Call the folks at Apothecary Herbs. They do have a dandelion root concentrate. They also have some dandelion root in some of their other cleanses. So you can give them a call at 866-229-3663, 866-229-3663, thepowerherbs.com. It's where your healthcare options just became endless. It puts the power back in your hands. You have tools. You got information. You've got it. You've got power. Take it back. Get healthy out there. By the way, their sale is on through May 14th, the Mother's Day sale. Save 20%. Details online or give them a call, 866-229-3663, thepowerherbs.com. Well, I'm out of time. The information presented is not intended to diagnose, treat, prevent, or cure disease. Seek medical advice from a licensed medical physician, if you dare, before using any product or therapy. I'm your herbalist, Wendy Wilson. Until next time, I wish you all to be well.